guys of Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Welcome in to daily Minnesota sports, entertainment, speculation, therapy, whatever you need from us. We are here for you on Mackie and Judd. I'm just going to dive into this here with you guys. This is from MLB.com, Twins reporter Doe Park. You know, we were asking for this last week. I don't know if Doe, if he heard or if it was coincidence. I'd love Carlos Correa on the record to say, hey, you're the team leader, one of the two team leaders. What do you want the Twins to do at the trade deadline? What would make your decision to stay in Minnesota a little easier maybe in a few months? Because you can opt out after 1 year. And Carlos Gray was asked that exact, well, I don't know what the exact phrasing of the question was, but he said, much like when he was in Houston, he's had, quote, good conversations with the Twins front office about the club's needs at the trade deadline. He says they ask for his input, and he brings up players to them who he thinks could help the Twins. I told you guys a couple months ago I had heard that process was definitely ongoing in the early part of June, that he was already, not in like a contentious way, but offering his thoughts on, hey, we're off to a good start. What are we going to add here? Here are some thoughts, etc. So it sounds like it's a two-way street. Quote, they know. We all know our needs, Correa said. Yeah, there's always an expectation that something can be done. It was the same in Houston, especially the last few years. I was very vocal about the things we needed and specific players that can make us a lot better. And the Astros were very aggressive at times at the trade deadline. So there you have it. That's Carlos Correa on the record saying, all right, we know what we need. Let's make something happen here. And maybe you can make his decision to remain a Twin an easier one if you are aggressive in the next few days.
So, yeah, I don't know if he is going to choose to stay or not, but I think the fact that you have him makes the entire process very simple as far as you should do something. Again, in the loss to Milwaukee on Tuesday night, we saw an example of what the Twins need, which is no surprise at this point, starting pitching, bullpen help in a big way. And so if you don't do something by Monday or something substantial, like if you just go out and get, you know, a Dyson type or something, I think the message it sends is so bad. And the problem now is, I mean, because of the extra playoff team in each league, so now it's going to be 12 teams total, the prices are going to be huge. The prices are absolutely going to be enormous. But you know what I keep coming back to? I keep coming back to two things that would frustrate me a lot if I played for this team, or heck, if I worked for this team. First thing I keep coming back to is, how can a guy who was hired from Cleveland with a specific, really, assignment of, you're good at finding pitching, so find pitching, have a starting rotation that when you go through it right now, Joe Ryan, nice young pitcher, but he's not yours, acquired from, you know, the Rays. Dylan Bundy starts last night. It's a disaster because you're asking too much there.
The wind was blowing out. Yeah. In fairness, I thought it was a little jet stream
the
out.
Airport hangar was open today. You know, it was
no question.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't even tell him was the roof going to be open, closed. I mean, they don't tell you that information.
He was so bothered by that.
I heard they rushed him back from the All-Star break too. He wasn't supposed to start till today, so I don't blame Dylan Bundy for.
I hope he's gone soon. Sonny Gray, you know, not theirs. So as far as the starting rotation goes, you do not have a good, competent right now starter who you've developed. And the bullpen is worse. The bullpen is absolutely worse. Duran is a great pitcher. And look, he's going to have some problems at times. I get that. But you get credit for, I mean, he is a flamethrower. He's what this team, going back to Terry Ryan, has been absolutely coveting. But beyond that, you know, you bring in Joe Smith last night. How many times does Joe Smith have to show you that the first 2 months of the season are long gone and that he is a complete flop? So what frustrates me there is, why are you always, and Dex and I touched on this in our Reckless Trade Speculation Tuesday, why, Phil, are you always, when it comes to the bullpen, going to the junkyard to acquire, for the most part, jalopies, putting yourself in this predicament? Like, how
jalopies?
They are. They're jalopies. There, I mean,
what is
I mean,
that even? What is a jalopy?
Just a piece of crap car. Just a jalopy. It's got it. It runs, but it don't run well. I think that's a jalopy. But that's my point is like, you need to do something now, in part, because you did not sufficiently address either need or have not through different means. And the bullpen thing drives me absolutely crazy. Like, we have a huge now backlog of cases, right, where teams with dominant bullpens are successful. And every year, you're going to a garage sale to be like, well, we'll fix this guy. Well, guess what? You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. So, yes, I think they need to make moves to send a message that there is some thought process here of getting pitching that is right now, to me, not even close to being sufficient to getting it to be far more competitive.
Did you look up jalopy there?
I did, but it was an Indian sweet dish. So either, I don't know how you spell jalopy, Judd Zolgad.
Yeah. Hold on.
Jalopy. Well, that's jalopy. I don't know what jalopy. Yeah. I don't know how to spell that. But I'm
but
pretty sure it's
not.
Trust
me on jalopy. A jalopy. Okay,
I'll trust.
Yeah. You know. So that's my problem.
So okay. So they. I think the conundrum they face here is you're trying to your starting rotation's kind of thin. Let's say that we trust Joe Ryan and Sonny Gray enough, right? Those guys have been rock solid starting pitchers. Neither one of them is a Max Scherzer, but like they're both. I think you can trust them in a three-game playoff series. Those are two of your starters. It would be really nice to have a third guy in there, too, so you can not have to be pulling from the scrap heap or start Chris Archer in a game where you know it's going to be a bullpen game. I've seen some people actually suggest, listen, if Chris Archer is only going to be trustworthy for 15 to 18 batters anyways, couldn't he be a guy who throws a little harder in two-inning spurts out of the bullpen? He's been a starter his entire career. He's 33 years old. He'd have to sign off on this. But those are, as you make trades around the deadline and kind of prep this thing for a two-month stretch run, those are questions I would ask. Maybe Chris Archer is better out of the bullpen. I don't know. But then who takes his place in the starting rotation? When does Bailey Ober come back? So you're trying to figure out your starting rotation. Let's go into this random trade idea real quick because I think it kind of fits. I think we should, until the Twins do something or until the deadline, maybe we should just spend the rest of the week pulling in random trade ideas. Declan found this from MLB.com. 7 trades contenders need to make. And number 5 on the list is the Twins calling in bullpen backup help. Here's the proposed deal. I'm going to warn you, the sticker price here is a little shocking. But this is what's going to have to happen. If you want to either bolster your starting rotation with a guy that is a playoff caliber starter, or you want to make your bullpen better, not just in the 5th, 6th innings, but you want guys that can be slotted right in behind Duran, right? You're going to have to pay something to get something. Mm-hmm. And so the MLB.com proposed deal is the Twins would call the Chicago Cubs, and they would acquire veteran right-handed reliever David Robertson, and not young, because this other guy is 28 years old, but fairly inexperienced, but lights out this season reliever Scott Efros. And you would trade Spencer Steer, who's an infielder. He's now your 7th best prospect. Matt Wallner, who's now your 8th best prospect, he's an outfielder, and those two guys are just lights out, tearing the cover off the ball this season. And then you would trade 2 right-handed pitchers, Cole Sands, who's 14th on your prospect list, and Blaine Enlow, who's 17th. So you would trade 2 top 10 prospects, and then 2 more top 15-ish, 17-ish prospects for 2 relievers. And I think David Robertson, who most people remember from the Yankees and the White Sox. He was a really good closer for like 3 or 4 years. He's now 37 years old, and he's coming off multiple injury and non-productive seasons. But he has a 1.83 earned run average this year, 11 strikeouts per 9. He's basically gone back to the old David Robertson. He is a free agent after the year, so you'd be renting him for 2 months. The other guy is Scott Efros, who I'm not going to pretend to have like seen pitch at all because he plays for the Cubs and he just was called up last year for the first time. But he leads the major leagues in appearances this year. He has a 2.72 earned run average, a 2.03 FIP, which is essentially your expected ERA based on the things you can control, and almost 11 strikeouts per 9 innings in kind of a setup role for the Cubs. He's under team control through 2027. Mm-hmm. So you would have him in your bullpen He's 28 years old, so he's not very young. But, like, you'd have a rental reliever in David Robertson and then Scott Efros, who could just be in your bullpen for a number of years. But you'd give up four of your top 20 prospects to make that happen, and you wouldn't be adding a starting pitcher. What do you guys think?
I would do it. I think you have to do this trade. Two reasons. Number one, I just think the way the Twins are constructing their pitching staff is it doesn't matter, really, if it's Sonny Gray or Joe Ryan or Dylan Bundy. They will be yanked by the third time through the order. They just will. So the way baseball is trending right now is having more super bullpens. The Brewers now legitimately have a pretty good starting rotation, but Craig Counsell started doing this like 3-4 years ago when they made a run against the Dodgers in the NLCS, where he was like pulling their starters after three innings, or even doing bullpen games, putting Josh Hader in the fifth inning because it was a high leverage situation in the middle of the lineup. You need legitimate bullpen arms. And David Robertson, yeah, 37 years old, at one point was one of the best setup men in baseball with the Yankees and the White Sox. It's bounced back, and honestly, he's been great. His fastball still is lively. His whiff rate is still pretty good. Scott Efros, though, is probably the main key here, though, because if you're trading numerous prospects for a rental 37-year-old reliever, like, I'm out on that idea. But Efros, actually, has been pretty damn good, too. His control grade is great. His chase rate is great. He gets a lot of outs. He's a sidearmer. He throws a sinker. Doesn't really throw much fastballs. He's kind of a junk ball thrower, but he's hard to hit. So if you can improve your pitching staff by doing this, you have to do it. And if you also aren't giving up a top five prospect with this, well, I think it makes sense. I think this is the price you're going to have to pay to improve your pitching staff, and I would do this trade. I think it makes a lot of sense to do it.
So the sticker shock, to your point, Phil, is enormous. Like this price seems absolutely huge to pay, but that being said, it's also because of timing. It's also because there's extra playoff teams now. And it's, you know, you basically were trying to cut corners on your bullpen previously, and so there's a price to pay. If you want to prove you're serious, I think you need to do that trade, and I think you need to get a starter. And it's probably not going to be a top-line guy, but it needs to be an improvement. My issue is this. If in the first round, let's say, God willing, you win a game. Oh, my God. The 18-game streak is over.
Is it worth giving up four top 20 prospects for one playoff win,
yes,
but you still lose the series two games to one?
Yes. It's one of the most embarrassing streaks in sports. But the point is this. If you want to seriously compete, and your answer from the Twins might be, nah, we really don't care. But if you want to compete, you do this trade, and then you turn around and get a starter too. Because I agree, Joe Ryan probably starts game two. Sonny Gray, in my opinion, probably starts game one. But let's say it goes three. Who starts game three? And are you really going to get to game three and be like, we're sending Arch out there? Okay, how's that going to work? Oh, we got Arch going, and then you're going to bring in your bullpen. And so anyway, my point is, if you want to seriously be competitive in a playoff field, I think that you also need to do a trade for a starting pitcher as well. And look, the reality of that statement is it might be a Jose Quintana. It might be a guy like that.
That's probably likely. So he's with the Pirates now.
That's the type of likely trade. Like they are not, I think that they are positively, because of their lack of true top end prospect types, I think they're out on those top two pitchers. Montas, who, by the way, scares me too. He's had shoulder problems. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like, that's tempting fate there. And I believe Castillo of the Reds is going to bring back way too big of haul potentially from a team like the Yankees. So this depends on what their decision is. But what Correa is saying, I think, is incredibly fair. And what he's been saying, according to you, behind the scenes the entire time, is incredibly fair, which is basically this. Whether I return or not, I gifted you me. I gifted you me. And I am a phenomenal player. And he is. And watching him on a daily basis has been a joy. So I don't blame him one bit for saying, take advantage of having me, Carlos Correa, here.
I saw Dan Hayes from The Athletic reported at some point in the last couple of days, too, that so Luis Castillo is the Reds' lights-out number one starting pitcher, right? And then they also have 27-year-old Tyler Molly, who's been good for them the last few years. And he reported the Twins actually like Molly. He's a right-handed starting pitcher, and he has, I think one more year of team control after this year. So you get him for a year and a half. That they like him better, which I don't. I don't know that I agree with that. I don't think he's on the same level. But that's another one to watch here going into the next week or so. If everyone is fixated on Luis Castillo, who is one of the best starting pitchers in the National League, that could, you know, could the Twins come in and swoop in for the number two starter with the Reds? So that's another name. I'm kind of with you guys. I don't think they've got the prospect clout to land one of these top two starting pitchers. I think the Yankees might get one of them as they look to bolster a World Series run for the first time since 2009.
Yep.
And so who's on that second tier? And, you know, I just don't know if you wind up with a couple right-handed relievers that are kind of, you know, you slot them into the seventh, eighth inning area, and then you wind up with a number three starter, does that move the needle enough? And you're probably going to have to give up three or four of your top 15 prospects to make that happen. Does that move the needle enough this year? Or does it need to be more? But I don't know what other choice you have.
That's
I feel
exactly
like you have to try. You almost have to just do it and cross your fingers, right?
And what frustrates me, though, is, and you know, Falvey took this job in October of 2016, so it's been a long time. What frustrates me is this, especially the bullpen really gets me, which is you've been cutting corners thinking that you could outsmart the system for how long now? And it doesn't work. It's not working. Like Declan said, these lights out bullpens aren't new. Kansas City had one, what, 2015, 2014? Mm-hmm. Like it's very clear what the formula is, and you're not going to work around that by saying, yeah, but we saw a small flaw in Joe Smith, and he's only 74. We'll fix him. Like, you're not going to fix that. And I think that it's incredibly frustrating because, you know what, if you needed one starter, like, let's say your bullpen was good and you were short, I'd be like, okay, that's not great, but lots of teams have that problem. But you are going to have to do some serious surgical repair if you want to compete on both ends of your pitching. And at least the bullpen to me is because you're convinced that you can work around a system that it's been proven you probably can't. You need arm. I mean, Duran, right? He is the poster child for what you need, that type of guy. I don't understand how you watch him, Phil, and then come back and say, oh, but around him, the Duffinator's back.
The kiss of death was
laid on from Smalley yesterday on Duffy after being great for the last 2 months, and then was Tyler Duffy from the first month of the season last night.
I thought the pitching coach made a great appearance last night,
too. Phil Mackey.
There's a very well-timed...
Phil on the mound.
Poor Pete looks way, way more consistently concerned about life than Phil does. Pete doesn't look good. Like, Wes was a spitball little guy, right?
Pete didn't sign up to be the major league pitching coach. You know, he was going to just kind of slide in there as an underling, and now it's, all right, guy, this is a playoff run, and it's all on your plate now.
I just like the fact that our guy Roy has now anointed Phil Mackey, Twins pitching coach.
I love it. Well, Roy was one of our favorite guests for years and years on our old radio show, so I can see why I would still be top of mind when thinking about great baseball
minds. Humbleness of Phil Mackey is very impressive.
Hey, Judd, is your dog Stella in the area here? Can you grab her for a second? Got to talk to Stella, because Maya Mackey, my little three-year-old Chihuahua Terrier mix, loves her Nutrisource chicken and rice food. I mean, if you're watching on YouTube right now, look at how happy she is. This is a slow-motion video of her up on her two back legs as I walk over slowly with a half cup of Nutrisource chicken and rice food. Third-generation, family-owned, operating out of Pahrump, Minnesota. Go to NutrisourcePetFoods.com to find a retailer near you. And, Judd has the goods.
I've got the goods.
Find someone that looks at you the way Stella looks at those Nutrisource treats. Oh.
Look at these things. This thing is a bag of goodness. Now, watch this. Stellies, now, just be calm here.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to get you.
Judd puts a handful in his own mouth.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I'm gonna feed you a few of these treats, and it's going to be absolutely
Who's
delicious.
A good girl?
Can Judd open the bag? It's Judd
proof. Look at how patient she is.
She's like, Dad, it's not that hard to open the bag. Come on, Daddy.
Why can I not get the bag open? Here's the bag. Now watch this. Look at this. Now, Stellies,
Nutrisource treats, pet foods, the official pet food and treats of the Mackie and Judd pups. NutrisourcePetFoods.com to find a retailer near. You'll go happy.
It's the Nutrisource dance. She's doing the Nutrisource dance. Everyone's doing it.
Everyone. It's
father-daughter dance.
Also, a shout-out to our friends. Thank you, Stella. Oh, who's a good girl? Loving those treats. A shout-out to our friends also at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. The annual Federated Challenge just happened this week, and with all of the different partners and luminaries around the Twin Cities, $4 million raised. $4 million raised for Big Brothers Big Sisters. So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can get involved helping children facing adversity, federatedchallenge.org is the place to go. I want to see Judd put a handful of those Nutrisource treats in his mouth.
They smell good. Now, I'm not going to do it.
Not going to lie.
But they smell good.
Training treats can be used for daddy as well, I think is what we're finding out. All right. I have, before we get to write that down predictions today, I do have just another question for you guys. Miguel Sano came back to the lineup last night. He flew out to the warning track, and then I believe he struck out. I wasn't glued to the game last night.
You're correct.
And then they pulled him from the game for a pinch hitter who also happens to be the American League batting champion as of right now. So my question to you is, can we make some ground rules for Miguel Sano's return to the Twins? And ground rule number one being, at no point whatsoever, even against a left-handed starting pitcher, should he ever replace Luis Arraez in the starting lineup. Ever. And I know that Luis Arraez is struggling against – it's weird because he's the best hitter in baseball.
Right.
From an average perspective, but it's almost all against right-handed pitching. But I still don't ever want to see Miguel Sano replace Luis Arraez in the starting lineup. Rule number one.
I agree completely, and here's the problem that I saw. And again, this is where the Twins don't get it. I understand it's Miguel, and I understand he was a prospect for a long time, and he was an all-star at one point, and I understand everything. There's a certain baggage that goes along with him and his name that is far more cumbersome than the majority of baseball players. That being said, Phil, the more I look at this entire thing, it makes no sense because he's here. If he's here, he needs to play. But you just said it. Where is he going to play? I mean, Miranda is playing great. In fact, I would tell Miguel, watch Miranda. Watch that guy's approach. And that's what you could have been, but you're not going to be. And I'm going to come back to this. And I ranted to Dex about the same thing on Tuesday. Gilberto Celestino is not great at the plate, but he is your most competent center field backup to a guy whose knee can flare up at any point and who you don't want to play a ton. And right now you're basically saying, we'll just get by with Nick Gordon. The more I've examined this, and I understand that this is an inflammatory statement to a certain point, there is no room for patience, and Snow is all about patience. If his contract was not up, I would say this is really tough because, you know, it's going to be back next, but he's not going to be back. And you have to win now. And you have to give yourself the best chance to win in a smart way. And saying, well, occasionally he might get hot, or he's going to hit some long home runs, I would have DFA'd him immediately. Because you know what? By Tuesday, you're not going to get a bag of balls, and he doesn't fit what you're trying to do. If you were in last place, I'd say give him a ton of bats. Let's see. Let's play ball with him. But there is clearly, and I mean, he deserved to be pinch hit for last night. But when you have to do that, there is clearly not going to be enough sufficient at-bats. Give me the defensive center field replacement for the guy with the bad knee, who I am certainly not going to screw with. And I told Dex this too. You cannot now say, well, we're going to play Buxton in the field a bit more. You've gone down this path of telling us why you're not, and we've agreed to it. Like, I'm like, okay, I get it. Don't love it. Get it totally. And now you're going to, like, try and create bats for this guy who is a strikeout machine. And by the way, a guy who's not going to be back in his career here is done. You're trying to win a division here.
It does feel a little like they're shoehorning him in here, right? And I think, all right, I'm just putting out my little Spidey sense feels. Rocco Baldelli, I wonder what he really thinks about this. Because every time he was asked about Miguel Sano's rehab appearances, hey, he hit a couple bombs last night in St. Paul. Oh, look at that. Oh, a couple hits over here. And he kind of he's certainly had no enthusiasm in his responses to the way Sano was performing on the rehab stints. Yep. And he even kind of said, listen, like I'm not even really following the games, I haven't looked at the stats. We'll make a decision when it's time. He wasn't enthusiastically pining for Miguel Sano to be back in the lineup, but it'll be really nice to have a thumper like that back in, right? That's the, like most managers talk about those types of players differently than the way he was, right? Oh, man, yeah, we're really excited. He probably just needs a couple more games, but really excited to see what he can add to this lineup and give us a boost down the stretch. That's not how Rocco was talking about this. And then Sano gets back in, and I get that a lot of Rocco's decisions are driven by the front office, and so I'm sure it was suggested that, hey, as you're constructing your lineup against the Brewers, Luis Arraez is hitting about 215 off lefties and 370 off righties, so why don't we give Luis a little breather, even though he had a day off yesterday and a day off on Friday and the entire, you know, 2 days, you know, between the All-Star break and coming back. So if you're Rocco and someone says he has to be on your roster, he has to be in your lineup, but now it's up to you how you want to manage that. He bats him ninth and pulls him after two at-bats.
Right. So that's I thought that was
interesting. I'm just saying, I don't know that Rocco is in love with this, I guess, is what I don't have any information. I'm just floating it out there.
But I mean, yeah, and if you had had if Sano's splits for like the last 2 years had been like, look, against Southpaws, this guy is phenomenal, I'd be like, oh, okay. But they're not.
So against lefties, he's 2-for-23 this year, which is a small sample size, but last year, he, against lefties, his OPS was right around 700, which isn't, it's bad. It's
right.
Not. He batted 230 off lefties last year in a slugging percentage of 364. So he was not very good against. He had, put it this way, 9 extra base hits in 174 trips against lefties last season. So he has not been good against lefties.
Here's my question to the Twins as a whole. When it comes to this, what's your point? What are you doing? What are you trying to do?
Well, they're hoping he can get, and I listen, I'm actually, this is where I disagree with you. I'm curious to see if he can go on one of those custom, those famous 3-week Miguel Sano hot stretches where he slugs 1,000 for, you know, a 2-week home and road stand or whatever. Like, can he carry this offense for 3 weeks and give you a few extra wins? That's what they're trying to do. And he can, and he's shown he can do that at least once a year.
And I love that thought, but then the comeback is this. You have to play him a lot. Like, you can't be
they,
like,
they might.
Dude, we're going to spot you. But they, and I think rightfully so, took him out last night. When Milwaukee brought in a right-handed pitcher, they rightfully so took him out.
But he's better against righties. That's the weird thing.
Well, he's going to be a spot
player. But Arraez is even better against righties. Like,
yet the problem is this. The Twins want the system to work the way that they want without thought to how it's really going to work. And so you need to play him. Now, I think Rocco, it's pretty clear, right? His comeback is, I can't really afford to. I'm trying to win baseball games right now. I mean, no matter what Arraez does in his splits, he brings a level of a professional player to the field that Miguel Sano does not. He puts the ball in play. He might ground out, but the ball's in play. And Phil, as you've pointed out 1,000 times, there are huge advantages to the ball being in play.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that the Sano thing brings up is this. You are sending a message of patience when you can't afford that. I guarantee you, Carlos Correa would say, what are we doing here?
Has he earned... I think this is going to sound stupid, but I'll say it anyways. I don't know that he's earned the right to just come back and replace Luis Arraez in the starting lineup.
No.
That's what kind of bothered me.
Declan,
yesterday.
I agree completely with that.
No, and look, with him coming back and using Celestino, and you now have a worse backup option in Nick Gordon. No matter what, if Bucks is not playing center field, you're going to be downgraded at that position. So no matter if it's Celestino or Nick Gordon, you are going to lose some type of value at center field. That's just the fact. But if Miguel Sano is going to replace someone like Luis Arraez, who, by the way, is hitting like, this is unheard of, he's hitting like 330 on a 1-2 count this year. when it's 1-2 against you as a hitter, you are mostly automatically out. Like, there is a small chance of you getting a hit, and this dude can work a count and still find a way to fight off pitches and find a base hit here and there. If it's 1-2 on Miguel Sano, game over, dude. Like, that dude's going to strike out every time. I think this is his final act. I don't believe they're going to get anything for him at the trade deadline unless they just basically give him away. I think these are the last 2 months of Miguel Sano, and then they'll buy him out of that option when it's the offseason. I think this is the last stanza, basically, of Miguel Sano's career.
Yeah. I actually have a Sano prediction in Write That Down today.
Oh,
okay.
So do I.
Stay tuned for that. Oh, Judd's got one, too.
I have a Miguel Sano prediction, too.
Okay. So, all right, Mackie and Judd here. And we're going to collect ourselves for a brief moment before we dive into our weekly accountability session and Write That Down predictions while Judd plows a bag of Nutrisource training treats.
Yeah, most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd.
Write this down.
This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write that down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages. It's Write That Down.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
With Mackie and Judd.
Yep, we are the only show in America with grapefruits large enough to actually put statistics next to our predictions and put our reputations and careers on the line. When are you going to admit that you were wrong, Judd?
Every Wednesday I do it twice, and it's painful at times, but you know what? It's the price of the fame that we've achieved.
It really is. Yes, it's costly not being able to go out to the St. Louis Park Cub Foods anymore in public without
it's impossible.
Closing it down, but you know, thankfully this audience has helped us thrive in life, so anyhow, this is Write That Down. Three predictions from everybody each week. They must be quantifiable. We keep track of batting averages and home runs. And listeners, if you guys want to participate like Matt is about to, you can send us a message through the Score North app and we'll get you all registered. So before we dive into where we were right and wrong and our predictions for the week here, a shout out to our friends at Equity Partners. So Equity Partners believe that the house selling process should be a lot more hassle-free than it usually is. And with their WeHab program, so here's the things that you get when you work with Equity Partners. They will partner with you to fix up your home before you put it on the market. So anything from simple fixes to a total remodel, anything that helps you get the most value out of your home, they are here to help you with. And then from there, and this might be the biggest benefit, you can move before you sell. So you don't have to line up the You don't have to worry about contingencies and the timing, which would be kind of a pain. Find out more at equitypartnersmn.com. All right, let's get into the accountability session here, and then we'll get to our predictions.
Let's do it.
We'll start with Judd. Judd, you said Miguel Sano will hit no fewer than 3 home runs in his rehab start with the Saints. He hit exactly 3 home runs.
Including one his last game.
Yep, so you had a little buzzer beater there from old Miguel Sano. Nice work. All right, I had 3 things come off the board here. I said Ricky Fowler will finish top 5 at the 3M Open. He made the cut, but he was pretty bad beyond that. I said Miguel Sano will hit a home run in his first game back with the Twins. He almost did. A little warning track power, but nope.
Oh,
didn't happen. Sorry. However, I told you guys, Byron Buxton will homer in his first game after the All-Star break. My first iteration of this prediction, and I decided to broaden it to what it wound up being, is I wanted to say he'll homer in his first at-bat after the All-Star break, but I thought if I say his first game, it's still a home run.
Right.
So it's a home run here, but I just want you to know that, like, I almost went a step further, which also would have been correct. I didn't have the guts to do it, though. So a little dinger there for old Macadac. All right, the listeners, little dinger of their own here, I think. Seth predicted in 2021 and 2022, a player from a Minnesota high school will be a top 5 pick in the NBA draft. And so we had Jalen Suggs in 2021 and then Chet Holmgren in 2022. And the fact that he made that prediction 2 years ago, I think, yeah, those guys were projected to be pretty good, but it had to play out that way. Yeah. And Chet Holmgren had to play well at Gonzaga. And
absolutely.
So there you have it. Nice little round tripper for Seth. All right, Declan, you said the Twins will make a trade in the last week at some point before this week's Write That Down.
Yeah.
They have not yet.
Fact.
And then you did a lot of home runs being hit here. A lot of, are the baseballs juiced here in Write That Down?
Maybe.
You said at least five different players will record eights or worse on the par 5 18th at the 3M Open over the weekend. And you stopped counting at five. So I don't even know how many it was, but damn, that's a par 5 for PGA professionals. And it was so difficult that multiple players recorded triple bogey or worse. So there you have it. Oof. Nice job, Declan.
Thanks, man.
Saw a Scott Piercy meltdown on the back nine for a Tony Finau victory. So here's where it is. Declan still leads both categories here. 494 batting average and 13 home runs. Judd's at 371 with 7 home runs. I'm at 293 with 8 home runs. Listeners at 287 with 10 home runs on the season. All time, Judd leads with 233 career hits, and the listeners lead with 29 career home runs. So there you have it. There is your accountability session for the week where we actually hold each other to the fire for being wrong. Let's get Matt in here. He's our guest listener predictor on Write That Down. Matt, what's going on, man? When did you first become a Minnesota sports fan?
Hey, guys. How's it going? That's a tough one. I'd say probably the early 2000s with the Minnesota Twins. You know, like the 03, 04 teams. You had, like, Mikhaevich, Guzman, Rivas, all those guys. Like, I remember the runs that they made. Those were kind of, like, really, like, important times for me coming into Minnesota sports. And then, you know, obviously Randy Moss and Kevin Garnett, also icons.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of fans, and I was a little earlier than that. I started getting into the Twins more like after 1991, but there's a lot of fans that got into the Twins in the early 2000s, and they've seen two playoff game victories in 20-plus years. So maybe they can break that. All right, we're going to start with Matt here, over to Judd, Declan, and then background. We'll take three trips around the room. Matt, you're the leadoff hitter, man. What's your first prediction?
All right, so this first one, Write That Down. It's going to be a Twins prediction here. You'll have to let me know if you think it's a home run or not. I don't think it is. But Byron Buxton will have at least 30 home runs by the end of August. So I know he hit one last night. I saw that. So I kind of thought about maybe 20 with that number, but I think 30 is a good number for the end of August.
I don't think it's a home run prediction because he's pacing for it, but it's good. If you want to make it a home run prediction, you could up it to, like, I think 35 would be fair because he'd have to hit like 10 in a month. It's up to you. If you want to leave it, you can leave it. It's cool.
I think we'll just we'll leave it. We'll go with 30.
All right. All right. Over to Judd.
All right. My, as promised, next Miguel Sano prediction is this. Sano will hit at least 2 home runs and strike out 6 times by next week's Write That Down. And I brought it down from 8 to 6 because I'm not confident he's going to play a ton. So if I thought he was going to play a lot, I'd say 10 times, but I'm not. So at least 2 home runs and at least 6 strikeouts by next week's Write That Down.
Okay.
No. Right.
I had kind of a similar one. I might have to tweak it now, but we'll go over to Declan here.
All right. Write this down. All right. My first one, I'll try this one again. The Twins will acquire at least 2 new pitchers to their 26-man roster by next week's Write That Down. So the trade deadline is next Tuesday. At least 2 new pitchers will be acquired, and they'll be on the active roster by next week's Write That Down.
That has to be the absolute bare minimum requirement for the Twins, right? I think it's more like 3.
Right. That's why I want to at least
to really give your team a boost. But, okay, write this down. We'll stay on these Twins predictions. I actually need your guys' help. What would I have to predict? I want my prediction to be Miguel Sano will have blank extra base hits between now and next week's Write That Down. What does that blank have to be for it to be a home run prediction?
5. 5.
That's probably okay.
So like 1 a game maybe.
Yeah. 5.
Okay. I'm going to say I think he's going to get hot. I legitimately think he's going to get hot. So I'll say that he'll have at least 5. Well, and do they play? They probably play next Wednesday. So I want to give myself that game too. So he'll have at least 5 extra. No, screw it. He'll have at least 5 extra base hits.
Yeah, you do it.
By next week's Write That Down. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now that I've said that out loud, I don't know if I have faith in it, but I do think he's going to get hot at some point. I don't think his career just ends with the Twins without some sort of home run barrage. So, all right, back to Matt, your second prediction.
All right, so I wanted to make a wild prediction here, and I was having a a little bit of trouble scraping the barrel for what free agents were available right now that I knew or thought that they might go after. So I'm going to say, write this down. The Wild will acquire at least one of these five players: Phil Kessel, Nino Niederreiter, Eric Haula, JT Miller, or John Klingberg.
By what deadline are you looking at?
I'm thinking start of the season.
Okay. Did Nino just sign?
Nino signed.
Did he? Okay.
And Haula got traded. I mean, the dude gets traded every 5 seconds, it feels like.
I wanted to have some fun with it because they're former Wild players, so maybe there's a chance they could come back. So.
Can we extend it out to the trade deadline? Do you want to do that?
Yeah, we can do that. Do you guys think that's a home run?
So you guys would have to call that one.
Well, it's five players, so you have a good amount. But yeah, I you know what? Why not? Yeah, I think that's a home run.
It's pretty specific,
it's very
and a couple of those guys seem to be tied in. So okay, we'll say by the trade deadline here to give you a little bit more leeway here, Judd.
All right, Sonny Gray and Joe Ryan will start the first two games of the Twins' opening round playoff series. So I'm just going with they're going.
This is a parlay. This is a parlay.
Yep, and I'm going with they are going to obviously win the Central Division, make the playoffs. So I am just predicting this flat out. Everything happens, and Sonny Gray and Joe Ryan start the first two games. The only thing I will say is I think Gray starts game one, but that part off the record.
Got it.
Okay. So it's just those two in some order start games one and two of the best three series.
Okay.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay. So it's kind of a – it's a Twins will make the playoffs parlay. It's Twins won't add a big-time starting pitcher at the deadline parlay. A lot of sort of sub – parlay items.
It's a home run. Down, you like writing it takes down. A lot of guts to do what I just
It did. Does. It really does. Okay, my second prediction. I'm going to hedge a little bit here, and this actually... So the Twins could be technically aggressive enough, and this can still happen. So write this down. Carlos Correa will rip the Twins for not being aggressive enough by the end of the year.
Yes.
So they could technically still get like two relievers, and that still might not suffice to Carlos. So I'm going to put this by the end of the year. So at some point in the offseason, Carlos Correa is going to rip the Twins for not being aggressive enough during the course of the 2022 season.
And off the record, do you think it'll be an aggressive ripping, or do you think it'll be kind of a passive-aggressive comment that he makes to a reporter that that asked him a question?
I think he'll be pretty frontal, dude. Like the guy doesn't mince words. I think he'll pretty much say it point blank that they weren't aggressive enough. He's pretty frontal like that.
And if that happens, he'll probably be right.
And I'm predicting off Declan's prediction, Ken Rosenthal.
Kenny?
Okay.
Is the author.
Is the guy Kenny?
Yes.
It'll be a national guy will come in.
A national guy and he'll get comfortable because he likes that person, and the gloves come off.
I love it.
I like the prediction, though. It's a good prediction.
I love it. Could Scott Boras maybe make a comment? Just say, you know, it was really, really disappointing that the Twins didn't do more for my client.
Does he usually do that? Like he rips teams on behalf of his clients. I don't know if he would rip the team.
He also, you know, he wants to keep a relationship. He's got Royce Lewis and stuff. Although maybe he doesn't give a rip about that because Royce Lewis is just going to hit free agency in 6 years anyways, right? Maybe Boras doesn't care. I don't know. Anyhow, all right. My second prediction. I'm gonna be a one-upper here. I'm gonna one-up Declan and say the Twins will add at least three pitchers before the trade deadline. That's what I think the bare minimum should be. So they will add at least three pitchers. Is that a home run if they add three pitchers or more?
It's damn close. Like
that's a lot.
I don't see them doing it. So okay. I'd say yes.
And they're adding three pitchers. How about to their 26-man roster? Because like if they add in some guy that goes the mile, like that.
Oh no slappies.
Yep. Three
slappies are out.
Major league roster pitchers.
Yes.
Okay. Or more.
Yeah.
If maybe they add seven. I don't know what they're thinking, but it'll all play out here. Okay, Matt, your third and final prediction, sir.
All right. So for my last prediction, I got to go with the Vikings on this one. Write this down. Danielle Hunter and Za'Darius Smith will combine for at least playing in 28 games,
ooh,
22 sacks, and one Pro Bowl appearance.
Okay. All right. I think this is definitely a home run here, just with how injured those guys have been. So it's health, it's productivity, it's voting. So I like it. If those guys play a combined 28 games, it's on defensively.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It is definitely on. So, well, Matt, great work on your first ever appearance on Write That Down. Since you have this life-changing platform right now here, these 15 minutes of fame, if you will, is there anyone in your life you would like to thank that brought you to this pinnacle moment?
Probably like my grandparents, my grandpa, and my uncle. They got me kind of into the Vikings and the Wild and the Twins. And then I'd have to give a shout out to my wife too. You know, she puts up with all my antics on Sundays and during playoff season, you know, so, you know, shout out to them for getting me into Minnesota sports. So.
Love it, man. All right. Great work, Matt. We'll definitely get you on again sometime if you'd like, and good luck with your predictions.
Thanks, guys. Have it. Take it easy.
Appreciate
awesome,
it.
Man. Good stuff there from guest listener predictor Matt. Well done. Always love getting the first-time predictors on the show here, get their feet wet. Judd, your third and final prediction is presented by our friends over at Valley Park Medical Clinic. You know, you don't have to be embarrassed, guys, okay? ED is a thing. And if you are in the greater Minneapolis area, Valley Park is the only clinic in Minnesota to use the True Pulse protocol, which is one of the most effective ED solutions available. The treatments are surgery-free, drug-free, and non-invasive. And the Valley Park Medical Clinic team is highly, highly trained. So you can trust this process. ValleyParkMedicalClinic.com, ValleyParkMedicalClinic.com. Now over to a man who has no performance issues and Write That Down these past few seasons, Judd, and his third and final prediction.
All right. As we've been discussing what the Twins might do by the trade deadline on Tuesday, I'm actually going to give you a prediction of the Yankees will obtain Reds right-hander Luis Castillo by the trade deadline.
Oh, they're going to... Wow.
So Castillo's the big fish here. Like, he is the main guy.
The big fish.
And he will end up with the Bronx Bombers, who have plenty to trade and are 1,000% all in.
Yeah.
Yankee fan.
Yeah.
Yankee fan, Judd. Making Yankee predictions.
Front runner.
I bet you just can't wait.
I'm a front runner.
Can't
love
wait
the
for episode 3 of The Captain to come out.
Actually, I can't.
I am really excited.
I binged
for that.
The first two on too, Sunday night. Good. Oh my God, it was great.
It's Derek Jeter.
The David Wells thing that Phil was talking about. That was awesome. That was so cool.
We don't do that here.
Yeah.
And then the scene where he beats the Yankees in arbitration for a $5 million salary. And then
stuck it to him.
Was it the ESPYs? And George Steinbrenner's up at the podium and like, let's also, you know, bring up our captain, Derek Jeter. And Jeter takes the microphone and says, you're only doing that because I just beat you in arbitration in straight face.
The vindictiveness is awesome.
Yeah.
I love that part.
He said, he said, loyalty that's a one-way street is stupidity.
Yeah, and
he
that's goes, exactly
if,
right, too.
If you slight me, I can't remember the word he used, but I remember when it happened, what you were wearing when it happened.
What you were wearing is my favorite. And so how great. I'm going to rip your heart out.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Who are we on here?
Declan.
Dex.
Third and final prediction for me. A SummerSlam prediction. We got SummerSlam this weekend, Phil, in WWE. So I'm going to do a little two-item parlay. I will say both Liv Morgan and Bianca Belair retain their titles at SummerSlam. So I'm pretty confident Liv will. Like, if Vince McMahon was still running the show, I can guarantee actually that Ronda Rousey takes the belt right back from Liv Morgan, because that's what he would do. I'm actually not as confident in the Bianca versus Becky match, because it's their first meeting since WrestleMania. She's held the title for a long time, but also I feel like they're not going to squash Bianca at SummerSlam 2 years in a row, just like they did this time last year when Becky Lynch came back. And Judd, those are my great SummerSlam takes, and I'm sure you have a lot to add to it. But yeah, Liv Morgan, Bianca Belair retain their titles at SummerSlam this weekend.
Judd, what's your hottest SummerSlam take?
Let's see here. How they explain the Vince thing and what they do with it. That's my hottest take. I'm curious.
That's actually a good segue here, because I have a post SummerSlam prediction here to wrap up, Write That Down.
Love this.
I don't know that this is a home run, because this is what should happen, but Triple H, who has now been named head of all creative at WWE, he's taking over for Vince McMahon as the head of creative and talent relations. Triple H will open Monday Night Raw. He will make an appearance in the opening segment of Monday Night Raw after SummerSlam. Now, is it possible they could tease Triple H for like hour three and then I'm wrong? Yes, but I think you're going to hear his music at some point in the opening segment. Time to play the game.
I'm tuning in just so I can potentially hear that and get goosebumps.
I think they need him to come out there, set the tone. This is a new era of WWE wrestling. Let's make it happen. So that's my prediction. He will appear in the opening segment of Monday Night Raw.
I like it.
Time to play the game. They could also just fumble this away. I could see this whole thing just get fumbled and they do nothing of substance and I don't know. So there it is. Those are your Write That Down predictions and your accountability session here on Mackie and Judd, the only show in America that actually keeps track of our predictions with statistics, putting our careers on the line every single week. We have started our Vikings training camp coverage as well on a daily basis over on Purple Daily. Judd is out there every single day. We're pumping out the daily episodes. We've got Purple Daily bonus episodes starting next week again with Realistic Randy Rants and Declan, with Before We Die, Jesse Pierce and Thor Nystrom, and maybe a couple other things up our sleeve as well. So if you're not already subscribed to both the Score North and Purple Daily YouTube channels and podcast feeds, definitely check those out. And we'll see you guys tomorrow for Reckless Speculation Thursday on Mackie and Judd.